On a bitterly cold morning on the 27th of January 1937, police officers had been alerted to an incident that had taken place high upon the bleak moorland that overlooked the town of Burnley in the northwest of England. Quickly making their way to the scene, upon arrival they would be horrified at what they had encountered, as lying outside on the ground was the body of a 73-year-old man by the name of William Pickup. Roughly 5 yards away lay the body of 18-year-old Jane Ellen Wilkinson. Both had been shot, suffering horrific injuries to their bodies. But this wasn't to be the end, as, not too far away, the body of 30-year-old Joseph Scriven would shortly be discovered lying in a shippen close to the farmhouse. He too had been shot. The events that took place that morning would shock not only the residents of Worstharn, but that of an entire county, and with it placing the village under a dark haze for many, many years. Locals would ask how could a tragedy as shocking as this possibly occur on their very own doorsteps. Folds Wilkinson was a farmer living at Savile Green Farm that was situated high upon the moors in the village of Worstharn. A widower since 1929 after the death of his wife Martha, Folds shared his farm with his daughter Jane Ellen as well as his father-in-law William Pickup. And on the morning of Wednesday the 27th of January 1937, he had left home at around 8:30 to deliver milk to a local firm in nearby Burnley. He had left his daughter Jane to help with chores around the farm, along with her grandfather William. Both were consumed by the work and it seemed that they were all in good spirits as they carried out their usual duties around the farm. Inside the shippen, recently hired farm labourer Joseph Scriven was also busy working hard. Folds would be gone for around an hour, returning back at the farm at around 9:30. Passing down a long but straight, narrow lane that exited off from Garpole Road, nothing could have prepared him for what he was about to encounter as, after parking up his van in the yard and making his exit, his attention was quickly diverted to seeing the body of a man lying on the ground. Not sure what to think, as he made his way over to where the body was lying, he soon came across another shocking discovery. The body of his young daughter was also lying on the ground, around 5 yards from where the body of William Pickup was laying. Without wanting to investigate further, he immediately jumped back into his van and drove to the Burnley police station. As he was hurriedly making his way to seek help, a man by the name of Frederick Brown, a paper hanger, or what is today commonly known as a painter and decorator, was already making his way to the farm to do some interior decorating. He had visited Savile Green Farm only the previous evening to speak to the family, and together they had selected which wallpapers they liked the best. It was Frederick's intention to have started work at the Savile Farm by 9 o'clock that morning, but he had been delayed and wouldn't arrive until shortly before 10 o'clock. Taking a shortcut over some fields, he climbed a wall that skirted around the farmyard, and he too would be shocked at the scenes that Folds Wilkinson himself had witnessed only a few prior minutes before. He saw Jane Wilkinson first, and thinking she had perhaps maybe slipped on the icy bound ground and done herself some serious injury, he went over to pick her up. It was there then he saw the body of the old man, William Pickup. Now realising something was terribly wrong, Frederick rushed inside the farmhouse to raise an alarm, and upon entering the back kitchen he came across another body, that of 20-year-old John James Blackburn. Lying on the ground, Blackburn had awful injuries to his head and next to his hand was a double-barreled shotgun. Now obviously in a distressed state of mind, Frederick fled from the farmhouse and immediately raced back to the village where he would telephone the police. Meanwhile, Folds Wilkinson was now making his way back to the farm, this time accompanied by Detective Inspector Fenton, Superintendent Edwards, Inspector Blackledge, as well as several police officers. They would arrive back at the farm at around 10:30, and shortly afterwards, a fourth body would be discovered lying on the floor at the shippen close to the farmhouse, that of 30-year-old Joseph Henry Scriven. The police were quick to relay what they had found to the local police station, and Patrol Constable Kinder, Detective Sergeant Lloyd, would soon arrive at the farm. And upon their arrival, they soon cordoned off the entire area so everything could be well documented. And by 11:30 a.m, Mr. Duncan, a fingerprint expert and the official photographer, had arrived from the county police headquarters to do just that. The scene was truly disturbing to all those present and was one of an unprecedented nature in this region of the northwest of England. Jane Ellen Wilkinson was lying on the side of a mixing trough. There was a wound on her face and wounds were also found on her left hand, indicating that she had held up her hand to try and protect herself. William Pickup was lying dead in the centre of the yard, the top of his head literally being non-existent. Joseph Scriven was the last to be found in the shippen. He was lying on his back and he had also died from a wound on the top of his head, as well as having been shot twice. And as for John Blackburn, He was found in the kitchen, the top of his head also having been blown away. A double-barreled shotgun, as we have already mentioned, was by his side. Both Detective Sergeant Lloyd and that of Chief Detective Inspector Fenton began to investigate the farm, looking for clues as to how the tragedy had unfolded and by whom, and in doing so, it didn't take long for them to find their answer. On a windowsill outside the back door of the farmhouse, a bloodstained note written in pencil had been placed underneath the matchbox. "Well, Folds, I thought this would punish you more than anything else. I am not crazy, but just getting my own back. I'll leave you to look after my brother, J.J.B. The writing would later be confirmed to be that of John James Blackburn. And examining Blackburn's body further, they found 4 spent gun cartridges inside one of his jacket pockets. The bodies of the victims, plus that of John Blackburn, would later be wrapped in sheets, and they would all be gently placed into waiting ambulances before being sent to the mortuary in Padiham. Whilst further examinations of the farmhouse and its surrounding buildings had, quite rightly, had to be undertaken, it was becoming clearly obvious to the investigators who the murderer was, but the question now was, why? The inquest into the murders at Savile Green Farm took place on Friday 29th of January over in nearby Padiham, with Mr. Frank Rowland, coroner, describing the tragedy as a veritable holocaust. Folds Wilkinson would be one of the first witnesses to take to the stand, confirming the dead to be those of his daughter Jane Ellen Wilkinson, William Pickup, his father-in-law, Joseph Scriven, farm labourer, and that of John James Blackburn. After detailing the events leading up to the discovery of the bodies on his farmyard, he would tell the jury of how he had employed Blackburn only 7 weeks prior to the shootings, and how he had dismissed him from his duties only 3 weeks prior due to arriving late for work and also being of impudent. Folds would also tell of how Blackburn had, on the Saturday 23rd of January, the weekend prior to the shootings, had come up to the farm at around 11:30 p.m, knocking loudly on the door and shouting for Folds to come down. Jane Wilkinson had opened the door, telling Blackburn that her father was in bed. "I got up and came downstairs," said Folds, "and looked through the window and saw Blackburn standing there." Blackburn asked Folds, "Is our Harry here?" meaning his brother. Folds replied back to him he had gone home with Scriven. There was no trouble and Blackburn then left the farm. The coroner then asked, "Has Blackburn ever threatened to do you or your family any harm?" To which Folds replied, "No." Next to speak would be that of Sarah Ann Blackburn, the mother to John. She would identify the writing on the note found on the windowsill to be that of her son's. She would also tell the jury that her son had been unemployed for around 3 weeks. On the night he had been dismissed, he had said to her that he was fed up and put his head in his hands and became silent. He would also tell her that he was not going back to the farm and that when he wanted any job he would get one. He did not seem to bear any grudge about anything which had happened at the farm. Sarah would also talk about his health, saying he had some teeth extracted some time ago and had often complained about pains inside his head, to which the coroner seemed to jump on, asking her, "You don't suggest that your son was not of sound mind?" "I could not say exactly if anyone was or not. Perhaps we all think we are, but we may not be," would be Sarah's reply. Inspector Blackledge would go into some detail as to how the police think the events had unfolded on the morning of the shootings, saying it was possible that Scriven was the first to be shot in the shipping, having been shot in the back and then in the neck. The sound of the gun being fired had then attracted the attention of William and Jane. Blackledge then went on to say that it might have been the old man who was killed next, as he could not get out of the way as nimbly as the girl. She had been found by the trough as though she had been trying to escape through the piggeries, and injuries to the left hand suggest that she may have made an ineffectual attempt to shield her face. The coroner, speaking on how calm and collected Blackburn was on the morning of the shootings, would then say, "Apparently Blackburn had been a cool customer, because it is fair inference to say he had written the notes in the yard and placed it on the window. He must have been very cool because he anticipated the possibility of the wind blowing it away. He put a box of matches on top of it." Referring to the mentality of Blackburn, the coroner said that the notes meant that he deliberately purchased a gun and went to the farm to punish Wilkinson by killing everybody on the farm. "Every human being on that farm was exterminated, and perhaps it was just lucky that a decorator who gave evidence did not go a little earlier," he would later go on to say. It also seems that during the inquest, the question of whether or not jealousy was the playing factor in these tragedies. Now, a reporter from the Bradford Observer had spoken with Sarah Blackburn on the day of the shootings as she had visited the scene of the murders. As she trudged away from the farm after identifying the body of her son, the reporter had managed to speak to her about John Blackburn. "Yes, I am his mother," she said. "I don't think he was in love with her, Jane Wilkinson, and he was jealous. He'd been finished there, that was it. Now, there was nothing to ever suggest that jealousy of a love affair was the main motive to the murders, other than that of Joseph Scrivens and John Blackburn had both been single at the time. But talk of jealousy would nevertheless become a talking point of the local villagers, who had been shocked to the core by the events that had taken place up at Savile Green Farm. Mrs. E. Lockwood of Herd House Farm, where Ford Wilkinson's father had resided, would tell the jury that as far as she knew, there had been nothing whatever between her niece Jane and either of the two young men. Neither of them was walking out with her. Now, if jealousy was the motive, then it seemed more likely it was down to the fact that Joseph Scrivens had been hired to replace Blackburn not too long after his dismissal at the farm. Telling a news reporter on the evening of the murders, Foles Winkerson said, "I think Blackburn wasted his revenge and was jealous at the idea of Scriven in his place. But why my daughter and the old man should have been killed, I cannot tell. I just cannot make it out on what part they had in it." As a point of reference, it is interesting to note that both Joseph Scrivens and John Blackburn had both lived on the same street in the village of Whisthorn, with Joseph residing at number 3 Heap Street and Blackburn being his neighbour at number 5. Sarah Blackburn would be questioned regarding the gun her son had used in the murders, with the coroner asking, "He had bought the gun on the 11th, did you know that?" To which she replied, "I didn't know anything about the gun. If I had, I should never have rested." The coroner then followed up this with, "That was 2 days after you were stopped at Wilkinson's. I have listened very carefully to you, and what we want to know is whether your son was normal. What you have told me only tells me that he was a rather dominant lad, short-tempered, impulsive, cheeky and impudent. Was he strange in his manner? Was he unbalanced in his mind?" Sarah wept as she heard these damning words, before finally replying that she could not say he was unbalanced, but he had sat in the house and brooded about something, and she had thought that there was something funny about him. She would also say that the police had visited her house and found a box containing 13 gun cartridges on top of a wardrobe in the living room. These had been identified as to being the same type as being used in the gun on the morning of the shootings. Now, as for the gun, Harry Landless of Proctor Court Farm, Briarcliff, would be next to be questioned, and he said that at about 1 o'clock on Monday, January the 11th, Blackburn had visited his farm, saying he had heard he, Harry, had a gun he wanted to sell. Harry sold him one for 25 shillings and gave Blackburn 1 shilling back for good luck, asking Blackburn what he wanted the gun for. Blackburn replied, telling him he was going shooting with a man, but he wouldn't give the man's name or where they were going shooting. 13-year-old Harry Blackburn, the younger brother of John, would also be questioned, and he said that on the Wednesday morning at around 7:15 a.m, John had got up and had breakfast before leaving the house at around 8 o'clock. John never said where he was going, and he did not mention anything about Savile Green Farm. When John was leaving the house, Harry recalled him shouting, "Come on, get up, I'm going out now, put some coal on the fire and fetch half a pound of butter." When Harry finally made his way downstairs, John had already left the house. Now, Harry, interestingly though, would tell the jury that John purchased the gun 2 days after leaving his job at Savile Green Farm, but where he got it from, he didn't know. Next to speak to the jury was Wilfred Barker, a window cleaner from Whisthorn, who stated that at around 7:50 a.m. on the Wednesday morning, he was walking past his home in Church Square when he saw Blackburn, and he noticed that he was carrying a sack under his right arm, but he couldn't make out what it was. The double-barrel shotgun was then shown to Wilfred, who said that it could well have been in the sack. Wilfred told the jury that he spoke to Blackburn when approaching him, saying, "How do you do?" To which Blackburn replied, "How do?" Now, there was no conversation between the two men, and the direction Blackburn was taking, it seemed, would only take him around 10 minutes to get to Savile Green Farm by trespassing through some fields. Summing up, the coroner said in each case of death, it was due to gunshot wounds. Referring to Blackburn, he said, "Apparently he has been a cool customer because he has written that note in the yard, placed it on the window, and he actually anticipated the wind blowing it away and put a box of matches on it. He then entered the house, and from reconstruction it is pretty obvious he leaned over the barrel of the gun and let it off. No doubt these people would have all died as a result of gunshot wounds fired out of a double barrel shotgun by this man Blackburn, and if you arrive at the time it will invite you to return a verdict of murder." The coroner went on to say, "As regards Blackburn himself, there is no doubt that he took his own life. I have tried to discover the mentality of this man and when he did it. If he had lived, I anticipate the verdict would have been guilty but insane. On the other hand, it may not be so. There is evidence to justify that this man went to the farm deliberately. He had left a note, which is in unequivocal terms, in which he said, "I thought this would punish you more than anything else. I am not crazy. Just getting my own back." Those are unequivocal words. If those words mean anything, that man went to the farm determined to punish a man by killing everybody on the farm. When you come to think about it, every human being on that farm was exterminated. Perhaps it is lucky that the decorator did not come to the farm a little earlier. Now, I want to attract your attention to a possible verdict in Blackburn's case. Do not forget this, that there is no such verdict as temporarily insane. Temporary insanity is also unknown in English law. Please do not return a verdict which will lead you to be ridiculed. If you are satisfied that he knew what he was doing, return a verdict that he shot himself, and that will mean a verdict of felo de se. If you think his mind was unbalanced at the time, your verdict will be suicide while not of sound mind. There is still another verdict. You are only considering now the state of the mind after Blackburn had killed the people. You must not mix the position. You are considering the man's mind when he shot himself. He may have been deliberate in everything up to the point of murdering the others. Afterwards, the horrors of the situation may have made itself known to him, and it may have gone off his mental balance at the time. If you are not satisfied as to the state of his mind at the time, you must return a verdict to the effect. It is a most unsatisfactory verdict. It took the jury just around 15 minutes to come to their verdict. The verdicts were in accordance with the coroner's suggestions that Jane, William and Joseph were willfully murdered by Blackburn, and then he committed felo de se. On Saturday, 30th of January, the villagers of Wisthorn had all drawn their blinds in the homes to show their respect before the funerals of the three victims and the murderer took place later that afternoon. Joseph Scriven would be interred within the grounds of St John's Churchyard on a bitterly cold day, which was made all the worse by a small flurry of snow as well as an icy wind blowing down from the moors. In the village square, a small group of local residents had come out in their homes to watch the proceedings taking place, with the silence only being broken by the muffled tread of the bearers' feet and that of the church bell which brooded over the village square. The bodies of Jane Ellen Wilkerson and that of her grandfather, William Pickup, will be buried within the grounds of Trawden Cemetery, where Jane's own mother was also buried. Apart from family members, only six spectators, two women and four boys, braved the wintry weather to watch the final scenes at the burial site. However, over 30 people were waiting to watch the last journey of Jane and William, with the hearse and its double load being followed by seven mourning coaches. The interment passed without any incidents, but some of the women among the mourners showed clear signs of grief, as did Fulge Wilkerson, who himself was trying his very best to avoid breaking down. As for John James Blackburn, he was buried within the grounds of the chapel burial ground, also within the village of Wisthorn, and his interment took place just 30 minutes after the funeral of Joseph Scriven had taken place. His funeral was a much quieter affair, with his mother and brother attending, along with just eight other spectators watching on. Fulge Wilkerson would remarry just 2 years after the brutal murders that took place at Savile Green Farm to a lady called Margaret Mitton, and both would eventually move to Schoolhouse, also situated in Wisthorn. But whilst the tragic events that took place on that bitterly cold morning on Wednesday 27th of January would forever stay with him, he would live to the ripe old age of 87 before passing away on the 12th of March 1978. No one will ever truly know what pushed John James Blackburn towards murder on such a large scale. Now, losing a job surely doesn't warrant someone to commit mass murder. Perhaps there was a love interest between himself and that of Jane Wilkerson, and after losing his job and after being replaced by Joseph Scriven, jealousy may have taken control. However, it seems many witnesses came forward at the time all saying the same thing. At no point was there any evidence to support this theory, and John Blackburn had never mentioned Jane to any of his family members regarding a possible love interest. In the end, it does seem more likely that Blackburn had been enraged by his dismissal from Savile Green Farm, and over the coming days and weeks, something inside of him snapped, pushing him over the edge, leading to three innocent people losing their lives. So I hope you enjoyed this story. It's another sad tale from our past, and for me especially, my local past. If you did enjoy it, please comment down below. If you know about this story, or maybe you live in West Thorn and you may have lived there all your life, or you may have been brought up knowing about this story, if you want to contact me with any further information I can add to it, please do so. Comment down below in the comment box. Like I said, it is a sad tale. Three innocent people losing their lives. Whether or not John Blackburn was insane at the time, we don't really know. I don't think we'll ever know. But like I said, if you do like this story, or you do like these stories, comment down below. But in the meantime, as you always say, take care, look after yourselves, and I will be back soon with another tale from the past.